From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block, and we begin this hour with the stories of two Syrian cities torn by conflict, Hama and Homs. In a moment, a look back at Hama and a government-led massacre there in 1982 that crushed dissent and cast a long shadow over the country.
But first, to Homs today, where tank shells crashed into residential neighborhoods. It is the third largest city in Syria and a hub of recent anti-government protests. NPR's Kelly McEvers traveled to the Lebanon-Syria border and met a man who recently fled from Homs.
Before the trouble started, Abu Omar was a house painter in Homs. Syria's economy was opening up, people were building. His kids had free education and health care. Most people were focused on getting by, he says, not on political reform. Nearly every neighbor had a relative who'd been punished for trying to get involved in politics.
People disappear, nobody knows anything about them for 10, 12 years. We used to think about it, but we couldn't do anything about it.
Then Tunisia overthrew its dictator, then Egypt. In Syria, some teenagers in the southern city of Daraa sprayed graffiti on the walls of government buildings, calling for the doctor, a nickname for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, to go. The teenagers were arrested and allegedly tortured, and the protests spread. Still, Abu Omar stayed home. It wasn't until Syrian tanks and troops entered Daraa and other cities, and hundreds of people started dying, that Abu Omar decided he couldn't take it anymore. 2.5 weeks ago, he joined his first Friday protest.
He realized that the oppression has become unbearable. The entire Syrian people have to rise up, or else there's going to be a genocide.
After last Friday's protests, tanks started rolling into Abu Omar's city, Homs. Abu Omar watched from his balcony as tank shells destroyed a shopping center down the street. They sealed off all the entrances to the city, he says. They cut off electricity, shot out water tanks. Families ran out of bread. Then, he says, security forces started going house to house.
And instead of arresting the men, they decided to start arresting women under 50.
To any Arab man, the implication was clear. We will detain your women and rape them. It was this that finally convinced Abu Omar to pack up the women and children and leave. Now he and nearly 30 relatives are staying with family here in northern Lebanon. Analysts in the region say it's people like Abu Omar who make up the second wave of a revolution. First, it's the activists who organize protests online and use satellite phones and Skype to get the word out. Then, when the regime starts killing, detaining, and torturing protesters, it's people like Abu Omar who get radicalized.
This is Daraa?
Abu Omar shows us the videos that appeared on his phone via Bluetooth during the latest protest.
These are dead bodies lying on the ground under tarps.
We could take it before, Abu Omar says, but now there's no turning back. Our country is destroyed. Our economy is destroyed. We can't stop now.
Syria is a country of 23 million people. We're willing to lose 1-2 more million people. Every father in Syria has about 4 or 5 boys that he's willing to send to protest for their freedom.
Abu Omar says he'd be satisfied if President Assad would allow for real elections, or if he just did what Abu Omar calls a courageous thing and step down. In recent interviews with the New York Times, Assad's advisors have vowed he'll stay in power. The Obama administration reportedly is considering whether to call for Assad's ouster. Arab countries are said to be divided, and Syria's powerful neighbor, Turkey, has been critical up to a point. Abu Omar says what Syrian people need right now is help.
There are ill who are not getting treated. There are pregnant women who are not getting the necessary care. There are children suffering from PTSD. They need some help.
That help was supposed to come in part from a UN aid mission into southern Syria. But so far, the convoy has not been allowed into the country. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Beirut.